Willkommen zu einer Special-Ausgabe vom Ein Neuer Game Podcast. Momentan finden ja in Köln die Gamescom statt und ich hatte heute die Chance und die Gelegenheit, mit Josh Olin zu sprechen. Das ist der Community Manager von Treyarch, die ja zurzeit an Call of Duty Black Ops basteln. Und was der gute Herr zu sagen hat zum Spiel, das könnt ihr euch jetzt mal anhören. Wundert euch nicht über die weibliche Stimme, das ist irgendwie, das war so eine Freelancerin, die saß auch mit im Raum und hat auch ein paar Fragen gestellt, die auch ganz interessant sind. Hört es euch einfach an, habt viel Spaß dabei und macht's gut.
Today I've been experimenting with just letting you guys ask questions and I'll fill the holes there, so okay. I think that's probably better. Just fire away.
Cool, we're not waiting on anyone else, no?
No, please,
right.
Shoot.
Let's get this gag posted. You right if I start?
Please, first.
first one, because I'm freelance, I've got questions from everybody.
Sure.
So, Bobby Kotick recently confirmed that the launch is going to be one of the biggest they're supporting.
Yes.
I mean, is that giving you any extra pressure if you thought of it that way? Or?
Yeah, we know. The boss said it has, it's going to be, then it better be, right? I think what he means, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but my interpretation of that was they're going to put the biggest amount of support behind it than any other title they put behind so far. Right? That's the way I interpreted that. And if that happens, great. I really hope it does. You know, I hope we can set new records. That would be wonderful. But at Treyarch, we're just focused on making the best game possible. And hopefully, if we succeed in that and we make the best game we've ever made, then hopefully all those good things will come.
Okay, and how long have this game been in development?
18 months now, 19 months. It's a 2-year development cycle, so okay. When it comes out in November, we will have been working on it for 2 years.
Cool.
It's a quick turnaround, really. Are there any familiar faces that are returning in this game?
Yes. Reznov, who is one of the Russian characters you saw in the level Victor Charlie, he is a... he makes an appearance in our game. And he's a callback with a character from World at War. He was Sergeant Reznov there, and he was a protagonist in that game that fought alongside you. So he makes an appearance in our game. I don't want to say anything more than that because I don't want to spoil the story.
Okay.
But we've put a lot of energy and effort behind crafting a really great single-player experience. And so we don't want to spoil it. We want people to discover all the awesomeness that's in single player as they play the game.
Mm-hmm.
But can you give us a little summary of what is Black Ops all about?
Yes. So Black Ops takes place during the Cold War. It's not about the Cold War or any of those conflicts. So we have Vietnam sequences, as you saw. But it's not about the Vietnam War. You're not fighting the Vietnam War. You're really just there on our specific missions that have to do with our original fictional story that we've written. So we've put a lot of effort into making a really very detailed and deep story, a complex story arc, strong character development, everything that makes a great narrative and plot is what we're doing for a single campaign. The Cold War era offered a variety of everything. It's kind of the way I'm putting it today. It's a variety of locales. It's a global conflict during the Cold War. There were hot zones all over the globe. So a lot of different areas and environments we can bring the player to. The era offered a variety of weaponry. It's a long era, and lots of even current day weapons were birthed right during that era. So just tons of things between the vehicles and the weapons, lots of variety there. And then once you dive deeper into the whole Black Ops theme, these special operatives, these covert missions, denial operations, then you talk about a variety of different missions and mission types. Because the missions these guys went on were routinely behind enemy lines. But every single encounter was something new. Everything was had its own unique flair to it. We brought in veterans from these groups, like the Studies and Observations Group, SOG. We brought in Major John Plaster, who was in that group during Vietnam. And he was telling us stories about some of the missions he went on. And it was incredible to hear the stuff they actually did in their life. And the fact that we would be able to make really compelling gameplay out of that was really cool. So that's kind of Black Ops. And of course, there's multiplayer and co-op as well. But we can't talk about those modes today. We can just talk about single player.
That's the next question I had out left.
I know. I knew it was on there. Yeah, September 1st is the date to remember. September 1st is when we're going to be revealing all of our multiplayer.
Okay.
So you'll want to keep your eyes peeled for that. And of course, syndicate and cover it as soon as you hear about it.
Cool. I mean, with Black Ops, you've already said, and from seeing it, you know, it's got that grittier feel. Do you think you've had more options to take it down that path because of the Black Ops? You know, it's a much darker thing.
It is, yeah. And moreover, you know, these guys were the most lethal fighting force there were. Black Ops, you know, SOG, they were the most leading fighting force, period, in the world at that time. So you know the term is jack of all trades, master of none? Well, these guys were masters of all trades. They were explosives experts, weapons experts, they were flight experts. They did everything. And so, you know, they're very exacting. They're very lethal. And you saw that in the stealth sequences, getting those stealth kills. You saw that everything was erupting into explosions. You know, they were proficient with every type of weapon on the battlefield. They were flying helicopters when they needed to, so it's definitely a great game. It's a mature game designed for mature audiences, and we're not trying to shy away from that.
Okay, in single player modes of Call of Duty, you always played more than one guy.
Yes.
Is this time exactly the same, and are they connected with each other?
Yes, they're connected. So, in World at War, they weren't connected. You know, if you're playing as if you're playing as Miller, you know, with the Marines, it's very different than when you were playing Dimitri on the Russian Red Army. So, our characters will know each other, they'll meet each other, they'll interact. You'll primarily play as just Mason and Hudson, but you'll play as others as well. It's not revealing that. There will be multiple threads to the story for sure, but they're all going to come back together to one main end, one final conclusion.
I mean, with the campaign, the length of the campaign, is it the same kind of length from what we've expected from past Call of Duty? I mean, there's been lots of sort of negative comments, hasn't there, about the shortness of the campaign focused on the multiplayer.
It's definitely similar to that. Each Call of Duty game's been variable lengths. Modern Warfare 2, I think, was pretty short. World of War was longer. I think Call of Duty 3 was pretty long, actually. So it's somewhere in there. We don't know for sure, to be honest, because we're just not done with the game yet. At the end of the day, the story is there. The campaign's going to be long, however long it takes to tell a good story. You know, we don't want to inflate the length just for the hell of it. You know, every level needs to progress the story. So whatever the story takes is the length that's going to wind up at. But we know that there's a sweet spot. We know that too short is bad. We know also that too long is bad. So we got to find that nice middle ground. But at the end of the day, if we can leave players wanting more, then I think that's not a bad thing. I think that that's probably a good thing. If the campaign ends and they don't feel like it was a chore, they don't feel like they're exhausted, they feel like, God damn, I wish that was longer, then that means we're doing something right. And we can find other ways to continue the experience for them.
Are there certain key focuses when you guys develop single player? Is it on action or is it on, I don't know?
Action's a big thing. It's something that Call of Duty games have always been good at. I think the key thing is just to provide new experiences to the player, things they haven't seen before. If they feel like it's repetitive, if they feel like it's something they saw 2 years ago or 1 year ago, then that's going to be a turnoff. So, going back to your last question though about the single player length, and you also mentioned that, you know, sometimes people think that there was more focus on multiplayer. This time, for the first time in Treyarch's history, we have a dedicated separate team for each mode. Because we have over 250 developers working on this game, so that's a lot. That's huge. Most studios are less than 100 people and they make AAA blockbuster games. We have 250 or more. So we've got a dedicated single player team. They're focused and honed in right on single player. They don't want to be distracted with the other modes. We have a dedicated multiplayer team. We've got a distracted, dedicated co-op team. So yeah, these are, those are the lengths that we're going to make sure that each component is living up to code. You know? No one component is taking the side seat or the back seat to another.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically that you're getting three full games in one, because you have a full development team focused on one.
Brilliant.
Well,
I sort of going on from a question I asked earlier, I don't know if you'd agree with me, I mean, because it's come across that it's because the story is fictional rather than factional from facts. I mean, is that giving you more freedom, or is it quite, there's a lot of facts involved because of all the research that you've done?
Yeah, so we call it plausible authenticity, plausible fiction. It's fiction, but we use authenticity to reinforce the plausibility of that fiction.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, because we're not telling the Cold War story historically, even in past games, we weren't telling you the World War II story. You know, we still had a unique and fictional story in World War as well. But perhaps, you know, it felt a little bit more historical because it was such an iconic battle. Because this is the Cold War, and because more specifically within the Cold War, we're covering these deniable classified missions, people haven't heard about them anyway, so they wouldn't know if we're telling, you know, fiction or the truth, right? So, that does offer a lot more creative rope and creative freedom for us to take some liberties, maybe even making the game. At the end of the day, everything you see will seem, that kind of happened. So that's the
point. In Modern Warfare 2, there was this Russian airport scene, and there was a huge debate. Did you guys, at least here in Germany, because we're a little sensitive, did you guys affect it? This, or did you say, I don't care, we do whatever we want, screw them?
No, it is kind of like that, to be honest, but that's not the attitude we have with it. At the end of the day, you know, we want to make the game we want to make. You know, Betrayer, you firmly believe in freedom of speech and freedom of expression. Of course, there are regulations and stipulations that Rating Board put on the game, but that's why, you know, we cross that bridge when we get to it. We're going to still make the game that we want to make. We're going to make the story that we want to tell. Just like a film director, a movie wants to make, and it'll get it rated. We'll make the game we want to make and get it rated. And if we have to make certain cuts for certain territories in order to ship there, we'll do it. It's better to ship a slightly, you know, watered down version of the game than not ship it at all. In an ideal world, we wouldn't have to do that. We would like to let players enjoy the entertainment product we created as it was.
One last one from me was basically sort of looking at the technology side of things. For the last game you made, has there been any technological advances that you've been able to improve on specific things in this title?
Major things, yes. Before I answer your question, going back to yours though, also what is perceived as, you know, too far or too much, it's a very subjective measure as well. So that's why we can't really try to think of that way, because if we try to go, is this too far? It wouldn't, you know, whoever you ask is going to give you a different opinion. So, to us, something might not be too far, but there's always somebody, of course, who will find a way that's why we can't try to play that game, because we would basically have Tetris or something. Yeah. And people who were offended by simply shooting somebody, so we couldn't have a shooter. So going to your question, the technology, a tremendous amount of technological advancement has gone into the Black Ops engine. So at the end of World at War, we itemized a list of everything that we wanted to further up with the game engine, and so one of them was we built in texture streaming, and that allowed us to make the ridiculously big landscapes that you saw in Payback. We completely re-engineered from the ground up our lighting system, so you saw that reflected in the water and the, no pun intended, you saw that reflected in the water and also in the flashlight sequence in the tunnel. In fact, when Payback opened up, you're looking up through the canopy, there's God rays coming out through the water when you're swimming. So yeah, all that stuff is made possible by these engine enhancements we made. But and there's a lot more too, it's a big list. But additionally to the engine enhancements. A lot of the stuff is simply art enhancements. Our artists have made a lot of Call of Duty games that have gotten better and better and better at making visuals. They understand how the rendering engine works. They understand how the effects work and how best to use them. So they're able to really step their game up in terms of just creating the content rather than the engineers making a feature in the engine. So the billowing fire and the black oily smoke and stuff looks brilliant.
Yeah, it does.
But that wasn't really an engine upgrade that made that possible. That was all done by our team of artists.
Brilliant. Excellent. Thank you.
Okay.
Is that it too?
Yeah, there we go.
Wow, perfect.